When Forrest came on board.
This is the regular meeting of Board of Education, May 22nd, 2007.
I can stay awake, okay?
She'll do her best.
I'm not available on the 30th. So when he talked to me, I go, like, if I buy a ticket, it'll be from camp. That's okay. I just can't do it.
He didn't find the folders. Oh, he has them.
I was going to buy them.
You were going to buy them?
Hey, Brad.
Do you have an extra pen, Mark? I don't know what it is for mine. Make sure I give it back to
you. Is here. He's got a whole stool.
What, tickets?
I know you want this chamber pen.
Buy
them
for me.
Buy
them
for you.
If we got to buy them.
But I only have 20, so I
no worries.
Now, what are our choices?
I'm
busy that night.
I can leave them with you at Will Call, and you can buy them there. Okay.
Except the name.
I'll find it.
Okay. Yeah. Let's get this party started.
I wonder if you were actually sitting.
It's kind of disturbing.
I know who sings that there's a song that talks about the
wrestlers, man. Look at that. We're just kind of waiting for it.
As soon as AJ gets here, we'll start. Welcome. This is the May 22nd, 2007 meeting of the Board of Education, West Covina Unified School District. The meeting is called to order at 7:02. We will start this session with an invocation from Mr. Spence.
Our kind and gracious Holy Father, we're grateful that we can gather here as the West Covina Unified School District Board of Trustees and as concerned community members and parents and staff and students. We're grateful for the opportunity we have to be here together as an educational family. We'd ask thy blessing on this meeting that it be a productive one that helps improve the education of the children in this district. And this we pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Please join me in a salute to our flag. Ready? Begin.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call, please. Here.
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 Come on, George, pay attention.
Here.
Here.
Now that AJ's here, we will start the presentation of the West Covina High School wrestling champions. Donnie Stevens, would you come up, please? And George, would you like to help me up here? I don't know if you all know or not, but... George Keller is our resident wrestling expert from some podunk school in Iowa or something.
Iowa State.
Iowa State, was that it? Sorry.
Back from Iowa, 60 miles where I live.
You're good. Donnie, on behalf of the Board of Education, congratulations for a fine year. We'd like to give you recognition for your efforts as the All-Valley Coach of the Year. With the Board of Education recognized Donnie Stevens as All-Valley Coach of the Year, May 22nd, 2007. Congratulations. Here's the thing. I know that last Tuesday night, you're at the City Council meeting, you got cameras all over everywhere, you know, got a chance to talk about your program, got everything, you know, everybody in the world. But these are special people. They want to know how you've helped and educate our kids in that. Would you say a few things about the program and what you've done this year?
Sure. First, I get a little chance at redemption because last time I needed to be saved. Mr. Manning reminded me about, you know, the main reason we're successful is because of the people, but one person, my wife, Shirley, is outstanding. It starts at the top. We get great support from the top all the way to the bottom. Great principal. You know, our district treats the kids incredibly well. We've always felt like kind of like the shiny apple of the district as far as sports goes. We've been here a couple times, and it's a great honor. So thanks a lot.
Thank you.
And then I just want to introduce.
As we go through this.
I can call him up.
Sure.
And just say a little something. Alex Carrico, CIF champion at 125 pounds, will be wrestling for us. Just to wrestle for a Rio Hondo next year, which is, you know, exciting. Taylor Louis was second in the nation this year at the Senior Nationals. Taylor was also a CIF champion. And he has a decision to make between San Francisco State and Morehead State in Minnesota.
Cold Minnesota.
Yeah.
Big mosquitoes.
And we have Samantha Lopez,
yeah, the same kind of
national champion, world champion,
wow.
State champion. She gets calls all the time to be a resident athlete at the Olympic Training Center, and if she wasn't a 10th grader, we might let her go. But. AJ Guardado is you know, the most outstanding student athlete I've ever coached. He'll be attending Duke University next year.
All right.
Pretty proud of these guys this season. We graduated 8 seniors, and all 8 seniors will be wrestling in college. We just got that pretty much sealed up this week, so we're real proud of these guys, and I just want to say thanks again for all the support you guys have given us.
Might we get a picture?
No.
Mr. I apologize, I was sleeping.
Thank you.
I have some Helen Hall going up. We were from Sacramento, my wife and I were up there the 18th and 19th. I saw Helen flying up on the 18th.
Hey, geez.
You weren't on that flight.
10:20.
We got one good. An ROP, she's my backup when I need to change something. She's also willing to ask questions, which most of them are. It's nice.
Thank you all. Next item is a presentation from the parent-teacher organization.
Parent-teacher association. Thank you. Good evening, Mr. Cox, board members, administrators, and community. My name is Kathy Jackson, and I am only for another, 8 days, council president. Hurrah for that. And I'm here to present a little bit about our parent-teacher organization, parent-teacher association. Nationally, and Christy Brown is giving to you some bags that contain some information. It's out of order, but I'll allow her to do that now. Thank you very much. I had a scripted place down here. Nationally, PTA comprises nearly 6 million parents and other concerned adults devoted to the educational success of children and the promotion of parent involvement in schools. In California, PTA numbers approximately 1 million memberships. PTA is a registered 501c3 nonprofit organization that prides itself on being a powerful voice for children, a relevant resource for parents, and a strong advocate for public education. Membership in PTA is open to anyone who is concerned with the education, health, and welfare of children and youth, and we take memberships at any time. National and state PTA and council PTA's priorities complements PTA's mission of advocating for services and policies that benefit children, educating parents to be advocates for their children, and engaging community members in support of public education. And as in public schools, we have standards. Some of our standards are are parent involvement. Because we know that studies continue to show that regardless of the economic, ethnic, or cultural background, parent involvement in a child's education is a major factor in determining success in school. That's why we believe in PTA. We also believe in a safe and nurturing environment. We support initiatives and legislation that foster safe and supportive school climate, including violence prevention measures, delinquency prevention initiatives, class size reduction efforts, as you see in California, counseling programs, as you see in California, and health and welfare reforms that meet the needs of underserved children and families. We particularly support public education. Our goal is to strengthen public education for our communities' children through advocacy and promotion and engaging our community members in support of public education. Now, West Covina Council PTA is a little younger than I am. It was established in April 1956 and is comprised of 12 units. However, more than units, it is a team of individual volunteers who are involved and give their time because they know the value of parent involvement. They all believe children deserve a safe and nurturing environment, and that is why we all support public education and work to strengthen public education for our West Covina and California children. And we do this through advocacy and engaging, again, our community members in support of public education. But I'd like you to know, we don't have a PowerPoint presentation. I'd like to just share. When we were at a convention, we were given an award that I'll tell you about later, but there was this unit that got up, San Ramon, very wealthy. They had a PowerPoint presentation, so I still don't have one. But I'd like you to meet some of the faces and hearts and hands of the West Covina Council PTA, where we are truly one voice speaking for every child. One of our PTA volunteers is a working parent who has been working on her teaching credential in special education. And all this time that she was studying and doing her student teaching, she continued to promote positive programs. She and her team, such as family nights, a harvest night, Red Ribbon Week, and they participated in our PTA Reflections program, all the while advocating for kids and their families. And this person is Kelly Lumbreras, who is an outstanding PTA representative. Another dedicated face of PTA is a Girl Scout leader who is truly a role model for youth. She is fully committed to PTA, spending time with her family, but also with her leadership team, planning and providing standards-based assemblies and programs for students at her school and arts educations for all students at her school. Her team has worked hard to provide playground equipment and a school mural this year for the campus. And again, this dedicated parent at Martha, the president of Vine, and her team are gearing up to celebrate the 50th anniversary of their school in PTA. And in PTA, we think of these as our schools. Some other faces of PTA are two dads. One assumed the mantle of leadership at the high school and had the opportunity to plan and organize with his team. The other, a middle school dad, active at the middle school and elementary, took on the leadership role to keep PTA vital at his child's campus. Now, one is a police officer, so you know his time commitment. Yet he and his high school team have done marvels at the high school. A special program they implemented this year was Fathering with Love, a presentation by a dad for dads. These men know the value of parent involvement and are part of the PTA team. We also have a parent volunteer who continues. Although she lost a spouse, she continued to be involved for kids. We have another PTA team member who is challenged by major health issues, but whenever called upon, I see her face. I also see the faces of many teachers and staff who support PTA. One person is Helen Jewell at Edgewood, who has been so interested in our PTA Reflections program that on her own time, she has spent time researching and planning and coordinating a lesson to help staff teach the Reflections theme for 2008. I can make a difference by. And she is certainly making a difference. Another one is Mary Gear. Whenever she's asked, she just volunteers without fail. She was the cat in the hat at our literacy day this year, and she really, really thrilled the kids when she took pictures with them. She was making a difference. And Mr. X not here, but when we needed someone to speak up in support of PTA at one of our units that was considering going to a PTO, he did so because he knew the value of PTA. And another team member who's in the audience, a face I see when I think about PTA, is a working mom. She had two older children who graduated, and she has a third grade daughter in Monta Vista. But they have planned Red Ribbon Week activities, all focused on healthy living. They had a reflections gallery, which recognized over 300 students and their work. And they have a Monta Vista Kids Care program, in which the students wrote over 150 thank you letters to our men and women in the military. These are just some of the faces that I see at PTA. And finally, some of the faces that I see when I think about West Covina Council PTA are the students who come out and volunteer. We get them all the time from the high school when we need help at our literacy day. They're learning the value of service and commitment. Or the elementary student when you walk on a campus and they see the PTA president and they know good things are going to happen. Or the student who waits all day at our PTA literacy day to get that special book and prize. These are but a few of the faces of PTA in West Covina. And these faces who are part of our school teams and councils during the past year volunteered approximately 82,138 hours, which if you equated that to money would approximate $1.3 million. I'm averaging, and these PTAs have raised on average and donated to schools approximately $35,000 per school for books, equipment, assemblies, field trips, arts education, just to name a few. Now here I was going to give you the bag, but you already have it. But in the bag there is some PTA information that I'd like you to consider look at. And if you are not interested, please pass it on because it includes information about our PTA convention and agenda. It shares some of the programs, resolutions, and legislative activity that we participate in PTA. It talks about our SMARTS program. We're working on getting the arts back into the schools as a standard. And you know, PTA was very much responsible, along with other community organizations, for a $105 million block grant for arts education and physical education. So we hope that you'll look at it and consider some of the brochures. It has brochures and handouts about what kids want to hear from their parents things about, instead of saying, how was school today? And what did you do at school? And they say, nothing, you asked. Well, tell me something about what you did at school today, or tell me what you learned, or how can I help you? That's one of the brochures that PTA has established. Finally, for 9 years, West Covina Council PTA, in partnership with our school board, administration, city, and community partners, and Mystic Sisters Bookstore, has sponsored a literacy festival celebrating reading and focusing on literacy. Well, this event was held this year on April 21st. It was very successful. I had some pictures. More than successful, this event was award-winning. Our Celebrate Reading Focus on Literacy Festival was the recipient of two California State PTA awards. We received this award. Only three councils in the entire state of California out of over 200 received an award, and we received two, one for community outreach and partnering with allied agencies. And so we want to share our success and award with our school community. West Covina was honored and recognized for our achievement. On the convention stage, more than 4,000 members attended, which included Superintendent of Schools Jack O'Connell and Secretary of Education Dr. Charles Long. These were but two of the celebrities and dignitaries present during the convention and awards recognition. As you can see, we have our flag on the wall. Christy Brown and I were on the stage and got our picture taken with our state PTA President Brenda Davis. Thank you for allowing me to share the pride and joy of West Covina Council PTA, our members, their hearts, their hands working together to make a difference for all children. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Kathy. At the Chamber of Commerce luncheon last week, where we gave a State of the City and State of the Schools presentation, I spoke a little bit about how our schools are good, but together we're
would make them better. And without a doubt, one of the items that I did mention in that was how working together with PTA, who I believe are the heart and soul of you know, all of our programs here, with everything that you do on our campuses, from supervision to homework to fundraising to all of the things that you mentioned, we certainly appreciate everything that you do for us, and together with PTA, we are a better school district. Thank you. Next item is the presentation by West Covina High School.
This is Principal Brad Manning, who got an applause before he even started. That's new here.
I have them drilled well.
I see that. I see that.
It's an expression of hope.
Too small for me with glasses.
We're getting there. While she's getting that going, let me start. Mr. Cox, Board, Ms. Castillo, Cabinet and audience, I would like to share with you what is happening at West Covina High School. As you know, West Covina High School is a 2005 California Distinguished School, and that distinction is because of the great staff, outstanding students, and terrific community that we serve. Because of this, West Covina has been able to make great strides both scholastically and co-curricularly. I've said many times that there is more going on at West Covina High School after 3 o'clock than many of the many schools during the block day. That we have, the school is alive with tutoring, study halls, club activities, not to mention dance, band, athletics, all going on at the quad well into the evening. I believe this is a healthy sign, and it indicates a school that is active and involved. West Covina High School has a clear vision. is guided by a vision statement that is aligned with the district and supported by our single plan, our WASC action plan, and our ESLRs. But when it comes down to it, our real belief is we are here for this. When it all comes down to it, we are here for the students. They are not here for us. We focus on the four things that you see on the screen. What do students know and have to learn? What's the best way to teach it? How do we know they're learning it? And what do we do if they don't? Those are the essential questions. This year, one of our students created the slogan, Dare to be Great, Score 758, by Stephen Barrera. And from that point on, we have spent every minute trying to attain that goal. As you can see, our API scores have risen steadily over the last 9 years, and we compare favorably statewide. We are a 7 against all schools in the state, and we rank a 10 in our similar schools. But more importantly, we rank a 10 in similar schools, and if you compare with all other high schools in the San Gabriel Valley, we are the only high school to attain that honor. That's not all the schools in the valley, but we are the only 10. West Covina High School is where high expectations meet execution. It seems like everything that our staff and our students do turns to gold. We have reached the pinnacle of a 10 in API similar school rankings. We have won honors in a number of areas in the band, athletics, dance, choir, and, of course, our last year's robotics team. Whether it's in the area of academics, I think you went ahead a slide, career and technical education, and you see, click now, all the different programs we have, including ROTC, our computers, our robotics, our fine arts, our fashion design, et cetera. We have a lot of programs in that area. Co-curricular, supporting our academics, whether it be the academic decathlon, our robotics team, our speech, foreign language programs. We have a tremendous wealth of co-curricular activities at our school. Or extracurricular, dealing with our band, dance, choir, drama, all of the clubs, our ASB, our outstanding Renaissance programs. West Covina High School has something for everyone. Our staff has worked hard over the past few years to bring our curriculum in alignment with the state standards, and this can be attested to by our continued success on the STAR and CASE tests each year. We have worked hard within our departments to ensure we are teaching students what they need to learn. That's our first of our four tenets. We have pacing guides, provided benchmark assessments, we analyze data, we work as teams and departments, and we meet regularly to discuss standards and plan our instruction accordingly. Our administration continually monitors our staff and students to ensure we are all moving forward academically. In regards to the staff, we observe our teachers both formally and informally. We meet with them frequently to discuss instruction and assessments. Our content roundtables each week allow us that opportunity to do that. We also do our weekly walkabouts where we just walk in, drop in for a few minutes, see what's going on, possibly ask a question or two. And then, we have our formal observations. Our second tenet that we focus on is what is the best way to teach our subject. And the administration works with our teachers to ensure we are providing the best instruction possible. We offer a number of in-staff in-services and provide time for teachers to attend conferences and workshops. We have targeted staff development on the three areas you see on the screen: school-wide literacy, differentiated instruction, and data analysis via EduSoft. These workshops have been well received by the staff and have been teacher-driven in most cases. Our third tenet is, how do we know our students have learned it? And we do this primarily through data analysis, or breaking it, whether it's looking at school-wide API scores or breaking it down by subgroup, by classroom, or teacher, our school is continually looking for improvement. We have certainly improved faster than the state average, moving from 576 to 738 in just 7 years. There we go. Our subgroups have all improved. If you take it here, we've got our, go back. We have our Hispanic, our school-wide on the left. We have our Hispanic and socially economically disadvantaged, all moving at the same pace. We're not leaving anyone behind. If we take a look at our ethnic breakdown, next click, we have our Asian, our Hispanic, Filipino, white, groups all moving approximately in the same direction, and that is up. If we move to our CASE exams, if we take a look at our CASE exams for our first test, we're looking at AYP. Our English language AYP growth is continually moving forward. School-wide, you can see from 2002, just over 20% to 2006, just over 50%. And that's moved all the way across Hispanic and socially economically disadvantaged. If we take a look at math, we have similar results. Again, a little over 20, just under 50%. In Hispanic, we are slightly behind. If we take a look at our CASE census for our sophomores, male versus female, although we have a slight dip at the female level in English language arts, all of them have moved steadily forward from 2004 to 2006. One of the things we're very proud of, and quite frankly, I was astonished to see this when I got to West Covina High School, a school of almost 3,000 students, to have in 2005-2006 only 149 English language learners, of which we were able to reclassify 32. That's amazing. I think that's a tribute to not only our staff, but to our staffs of our feeder schools. They've worked well to get them reclassified and move them on. And I hope that I haven't lost my spot here. Going to the next place, we're looking at percent of proficient and advanced in English language arts and math CST scores. You'll notice in 2002, our score was 21.9. By the way, that's just about the state average. All the way to 51% in 2006. And the same is true pretty much in math. We have been able to move forward in both of those major areas. Next. If we take a look at them by subgroups here in our CST scores, excuse me. Thank you, Mr. Berulin, for suggesting I bring water. If you take a look at our state averages, we're well above in English language arts in 9th, 10th, and 11th grade. If we move to math, and I think for some reason that got left off my presentation, but I believe it's on your slides, we are equally as well in math. In world studies, we're ahead, and in U.S. history, well ahead. In the subgroups of biology, chemistry, and physics, only chemistry we fall behind in the against the state average. If we take a look at our UC qualifiers in 05-06, with 24.7% of our students qualified for the UCs. This year we had 31.15, a gain of 6%. We think that's pretty good. I know there are some that think that's not good enough, I being one of them. As mentioned previously, our staff collaborates a lot at West Covina High School, whether it's via our content roundtables, our formal leadership and staff meetings, department meetings, or through informal conversations, we talk. We work with our community through our active PTSA, which was presented today, our ELAC, our school site council meetings, as well as through programs such as our Red Ribbon, open houses, our back-to-school nights, and parent education opportunities. We are always trying to meet the needs of our students and all of our stakeholders. Up there you see, can we back that up? You see a number of the things that we've instituted, one of which is the new principal's newsletter, and we do have the new electronic marquee that came on just before Christmas. Very nice. Our students work together through a number of mediums, including daily announcements. We have a very strong ASB, our House of Representatives and weekly newspapers, our clubs, and we have an outstanding Renaissance program. Our students involved and knowledgeable about what is going on at West Covina High School, and they take an active role in its leadership. We at West Covina have a large staff that supports student learning. As you can see by this graphic, we do support our students. We are lucky to have a full-time librarian that can support both teachers and students. Our counseling department does a great job supporting our students and parents, as do our health clerks, career guidance clerks, college advisors, psychologists, instructional aides, and many more. It seems that everyone at West Covina High School is working hard to ensure that students are succeeding. I'd like to also make note that thanks to the support of the board, we were able to hire two new counselors this year, and I think that's really helped us. Our fourth tenet, what do we do if students aren't learning, really falls into this next category, or this category. We have a tremendous support system for students that need help. We have before and after school programs for students who are falling behind. We have collaborative programs during the school day, parallel classes in English. We have independent study programs. In addition to these, we have our Leap Forward, which helps underachieving and at-risk students. We also have our AVID programs for those wishing to go to college but maybe need just a little extra support to get there. We also have our BOOST program, where teachers actually adopt students, figuratively, and help them get to that next level. Everybody seems to be working together. If a student needs help, he or she can get it at West Covina High School. We have a strong parent and community involvement and support here at West Covina. The very first experience I had when I came on board in September was helping with the Red Ribbon Week. What an experience this was. 5,000 students, parents, and community members coming together on my campus for a great cause, drug awareness. It was exciting for me to see and be a part of this, and it was just the beginning. Our PTSA has been great by providing such events as parent education nights and senior awards. We have had a number of clubs and team booster clubs that work tirelessly to support their programs, and we have our new community support for our 50th year celebration planned for this October, which will start off at the Taste of West Covina on October 13th and then conclude at our open house in the spring. All of the service clubs have been great in support of our school, as have the Chamber of Commerce. Probably the most important community group that provides not only West Covina High School but all district schools is the district's administration and school board. No, I am not kissing up. Without your support, we wouldn't have a new stadium. We wouldn't have two new counselors. We wouldn't have many of the great programs such as Air Force Junior ROTC that we currently have that allows us to grow and succeed. And for that, I personally thank you. We believe that the greatest thing in this world is not so much where we are, but what direction we are moving. And we are moving in the right direction. And we are truly home of scholars and champions. I would like to thank all of you for listening to me, and I would like to introduce some of the people here in support of me. First, assisting me to my right, Ms. Ronnie Louie, assistant principal. Let's give her a big hand. And I hope I don't forget anybody. We have Mark Travatori, our dean. Stephanie Windemuth got here for the last paragraph.
No.
Assistant principal. I have a business teacher and friend, Bob Berulin, and his wife, Beth. Sharon Garko, who is our PTSA wife and photographer. And did I mention Rick Bernard, our science department chair? Future administrator, and I hope I didn't miss anybody. If I did, I apologize. With that, I will conclude with any questions.
George?
How many students do you have involved in your BOOST program?
In the BOOSTER program?
The BOOST.
Oh, the BOOST.
Where the teachers...
These are... I can't say that we have 100%. What we do is we don't mandate that every teacher adopt a child. But we hold, I think probably if I was to guess, I'd say 90%. And we also don't dictate how many students they can adopt. Some take one or two. Some will take 14 or 15. It's kind of their capacity. What we do is kind of like at the mealtime, if you take them, you feed them. You don't leave anybody unfed. And so that's a program, and I think that's one of the keys that helps us raise our API, because we really try to get that student to that next level. We don't want anybody following behind, and we want them catching up and going to the next group. Okay?
I had two questions, or two areas, I guess. One is on the English language learner and the reclassifications.
Yes.
Like this year of the 117 or so that, right, is that a 149? 117 of the kids that aren't reclassified. Do you have any idea how many of those have been in the district for, you know, 5-6 years compared to how many just, you know, signed up the same time you did?
same time I did, came in September.
Yeah, the first day of school.
We're all freshmen.
Yeah.
I don't have an answer to that. I can get back to you. My intuition is probably that most of them are new. From what I've seen of our feeder schools in preparing their students and getting them through that whole EL process, West Covina does a terrific job, and I don't think many of them fall through the cracks. And so I think if they're coming to us and they're still ELs, it's probably because they're new. I know our staff, Norma Barreto for sure, who supports that program, just does an outstanding job of monitoring and working with the teachers and her guys. So.
Can you get that?
I will get that, and I'll get to Ms. Castillo.
And then the other question, I appreciate you including the KC gender pass rates in here. And there is a difference, especially in English language, you know, about 10 percentage points between male and female. And I didn't know if your school's doing anything specific to address that. Because obviously, you know, that also means that the graduation rate is much different between male and female, too.
Yeah. I don't think that we have targeted that particular subpopulation to where we have done anything specifically for that. As a matter of fact, I would be willing to listen to any suggestions that we could help target that. I'm not sure that I have that expertise. I know that there are others that do. So,
because it seems like that would be the fastest way to raise our graduation rate.
And you know what?
When target those males that for some reason...
As we get close to the 800 mark, and of course we want to get well beyond 800,
right.
But as we get closer, it becomes more and more difficult, and our procedures have to become more and more targeted and more refined.
Right.
And so I think that's a good place for us to start.
And I do expect you to beat Los Altos next year, and especially knowing your background.
Yeah,
that
well.
We beat La Salle and then, of course, that we also, if we beat Wilson, that'd be a double. That'd be a double, too. Just putting that on you, Brad.
I expect to beat everybody, and we open with Modern Day, so.
Okay.
In the area of percentage math and students proficient or advanced versus the state of California.
Algebra is our one low spot. Part of that is because those that are proficient at eighth grade move on to geometry or above. All other students, regardless of what they have taken at eighth grade, whether they have passed algebra or not, we put them into algebra, so we have a very large algebra pool at the freshman level. Part of that is probably just based on numbers why we fall behind on that. We are working, as a matter of fact, we had a meeting this week with Jan, and we're having a meeting on Friday with our department chair to talk about strategies in which we can address that issue. Our algebra numbers need to improve.
I understand what you meant by virtue of numbers, more kids enrolled.
Yeah, a lot of the more kids that take a test, the greater chance that you have are going to have a less percentage passing. Yeah. That just seems to be the mechanics of test taking. I don't know why. It seems to be that way.
So the state number it's not the whole universe, 23%. It's just 23% that took the test?
It's 23% that took the test of algebra, yes, because you take a grade level test. If you're in geometry, you take the geometry test. But we don't have a less than algebra test, so every student takes it.
Okay, right.
Isn't part of that with our middle school? Our middle school from what I see, our middle school is now getting into algebra, and they're entering with geometry, predominantly more geometry than they have in the past.
Certainly, percentage-wise, have gone up over the last few years. Yes.
Right. So we're having, and I don't want to get off into too many parameters, but basically, we're having people who have not passed algebra in the eighth grade coming and taking algebra again.
That is correct.
And taking the test, where we don't have a lot of first year algebra students.
That is correct.
So then, are those if they've passed geometry, then if they passed in eighth grade, gone into
if they take
freshman,
algebra, they'll go right into geometry.
And so are those kids that are going into geometry considered proficient in algebra?
No. Well, they don't. Theoretically, they were deemed proficient in the eighth grade level, at eighth grade. Therefore, they moved to the geometry and then would move on.
And the geometry figures were above average.
Well above average, because we have a high number of geometry students taking. We have a good population of those kids. I think I just contradicted myself.
Yeah.
So don't pick that up, okay? I don't want you to catch that.
All right, then perhaps when you walk on campus, you know, quite honestly, it looks awful. How are the kids adapting to modernization? This is one of the first situations where we've had, you know, to work around modernization while the kids are on campus. We couldn't move them to another high school. So,
you know, the students, and Daniel's probably a great resource for this question. Students are pretty resilient. You know, they move to a cubicle, and that's where they're taught, and I think they survive pretty well. I think it's staff, administration, parents that have the toughest time, because we have to live within that confines for extended periods of time, which are out of our norm. Change is difficult. Getting out of the norm is difficult, and therefore it creates some stress. And we have had some growing pains with modernization. I will tell you that Mr. Frutos, Ms. Castillo, have really treated us well and tried to help us in every way we can. So, yes, we have stress. I think we're dealing with it very well.
District-wide, our API scores are 761, and obviously the performance of the high school moves, the increase in the score and the success of the high school helps to move that number higher.
Absolutely.
So again, while I was at the State of the Schools address, had an opportunity to take advantage of that, and the fact that, you know, we happen to beat South Hills by.
Did I mention that?
South Hills.
I can't believe I didn't mention that.
And the fact that
Which is why he has to be at Los Santos next time.
that the West Covina School District in its rankings throughout the valley between, was basically third behind Walnut and Glendora and Roland after that, and Covina Valley a distant second. And, you know, to have to take an opportunity, a realtor probably would understand this.
You know, to point that out to the community.
That happen to live in the
South Hills District.
Well, you know, I'm sorry.
As our administration, and I don't want to belabor the point, but as our administration went to talk to all of the students taking the almost completed CST test, which we will finish tomorrow, and we talked to them about the importance, and we set some goals, and we had them look at their previous scores and get some assistance from their parents in regards to preparing them for the test mentally, physically, emotionally. I don't think we ever missed an opportunity to point out the fact that our 10 was the only 10 in the valley in similar schools, or the fact that we scored 739 versus South Hills of 738. Mm-hmm. That seems like just a little bit, but as I pointed out to them, if we beat them in football or basketball by 1 point, we rejoice. We still beat them. And I don't think Judy North at South Hills is saying, it's okay, guys, you only lost by one. We're very proud of that.
And then finally, the last thing is, as I go around the district, and a lot of people are asking a lot, right, George? We hear voices. People tell us. Where's graduation going to be this year?
You know, we have a new stadium that's been created out of the funds of our district. If you go by our school, it's green. It's plush. We don't have people out there mowing the lawn. But we do have them sewing the lawn. And I will tell you just a quick story that may be somewhat boring. But I walked out there just to kind of quell my own curiosity on how well it was going. And I walked out, and they're laying this carpet on crushed gravel. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking, that's awfully hard. And I called. I talked to Ruben. I said, Ruben, what's going on? And he explained to me, no, Brad. They put the carpet on the rock. Then, if you take a look at the grass, it's about 3, 4, 5 inches long. Mm-hmm. Then they come in, they dust it with a couple, 2, 3 inches of sand, mm-hmm. pull the grass up, layer it with their little rubber pellets, mm-hmm. and then that gets you your surface. Yeah. It best simulates ground probably better than ground does. And I, having a bit worked on it, seen it at other schools, I know that our surface is going to be one of the best. And we're really excited. The whole school, we're looking forward to it.
And graduation will be on the field, Mr. Cox.
Was that your original question, where
he
graduation
just wants
will be?
Hold us accountable.
Yes.
It will be on
the stadium.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah, where's 4th of July going to be?
At Edgewood.
Have to talk to Jim Mandela about that one.
It's a fire chief. I don't know if the public
That's
knows
right.
that or not.
That's
I mean,
right.
We actually would have preferred that they'd been on our campus so we could show off and show at the high school. I mean, we're happy to show off Edgewood, don't get me wrong. But apparently the various scenarios that were presented to the city, the fire chief decided that Edgewood would be the best place to do that. So
they'll be back next year.
Be that as it may, they were going to delay the – no, it'll be dreams. A big league dreams after that.
Keep dreaming.
The track. Will that be done before 4th of July?
Yes, Mr. Cox. Everything will be done
by graduation.
Right.
What kind of a track?
Everything will be done.
I don't know that the reason why the fact that we're not holding 4th of July.
Thank you for that presentation, Mr.
Excellent presentation, Mr. Ryan. Thank you, and thank you, staff, for being here.
We have a meeting to get to.
It is always a pleasure.
We could talk about the field and the track all night, but you know, we have a meeting.
We have business.
Thank you. Okay. We do have some items to report on actions taken in closed session. Let's see. I was moved by Mike Spence and seconded by George Fuller and approved to expel the following student from West Covina Unified School District. Pupil number 182701 assaulted another student. It was vote was 5-0. This pupil is expelled and not eligible to apply to readmission until the date set in the rehabilitation plan. It was moved by Cami Polis and seconded by George Fuller that the following student has completed his term on condition of expulsion and been approved by the Board of Education for readmission. Student number 178080 lift the expulsion and enroll in West Covina High School, and that vote was 5-0. In closed session this evening, the board took action pursuant to Code Section 44954 and 44929.21 to notify 38 temporary employees of the district's decision to release and non-reelect them for reemployment at the conclusion of the current school year with the vote 5-0 for the motion voting and nobody voting against it. That's all I have to read out. And board president's report, I don't know if I made it clear or not, but had an opportunity to speak before the Chamber of Commerce and do a state of the school district. So I appreciate that opportunity. Board of Education report, Cami?
I had the opportunity to go to Delegate Assembly this past weekend and to the CSBA's Lobby Day. I'm just going to talk very quickly about four of the issues that CSBA was stressing this year. And it was they're asking the governor, please no new programs this year. spend the money on where the deficit's going to be and the deficits on the supplemental programs, child nutrition, community day schools, and special ed, and that's where they're not wanting to. The governor only wants to do the state's portion of the COLA for special ed. So they're saying, please use that money instead of the governor had some great proposals for new programs. We're saying, please don't do that this year. Have a long-term plan for Prop 98 money, and hopefully those great things that he has planned we can do later on down the road. They another thing that California, I thought I heard something. That AB 1379 is a bill that would support multiple majors. It would include the high school exit exam, but look at other majors as well. And that's something CSBA is asking for support on. And then to fix NLCB, NCLB. They're hoping that the legislation start looking at highly qualified teachers, growth majors, proficiencies, subgroups, different things that really affect how the daily running of our school and or how we're rated would be looked at and adjusted to fit California's needs. I have plenty of reading material if anybody's interested in more, but for lack of time, I won't share any more. But I'm willing to share any and all the information that I learned this weekend. And thank you for the opportunity for letting me go.
George?
Ms. Cuesta over in Edgewood, I had right across her in the community last week. She reports she earned her EDD. From Laverne, Doctor of Education from Laverne, like to publicly congratulate her and the efforts she's made.
Yes.
All right, thank you. Daniel.
All right, for testing, our AP test is finished last week, but tomorrow is our last day for our standardized test. Every day our administration has been providing breakfast for the students that are taking the test, not as seniors. We've been keeping busy in the gym with our senior meetings. One day we had a presentation by Cal State Fullerton, some program within them, and they gave us a presentation about making right decisions and choices. Today we had a senior blood drive by San Gabriel Valley, Queens Valley, hospital. We did two with Red Cross, and we'd like to help out the local hospital, and we had a blood drive with them today with the seniors. We're not testing. So tomorrow's the last day of testing. Oh, Wednesday, we're having an art show, all-day art show within our media center. It normally happens with our open house, but our open house is too early with all the submissions of art, so we just have one day with our art show. And our whole media center is taken over by all four walls, completely filled with art. Looks good. I just saw it today. So if you'd like to go, please do. Wednesday, all day.
The 30th or tomorrow?
The 30th.
I'm sorry?
What day was it?
Wednesday. Today's Tuesday, tomorrow.
Okay.
Yes.
All day.
No, I didn't know if it was the 30th or the 23rd. Thank you.
All day tomorrow.
All day tomorrow. And, yeah, the also our date books, we had about 100 submissions from the students of our graphics arts design class. It's an ROP class, and they submitted date book covers for us for next year. Christina Valdez, who has won a few awards for her art, she made an electronic submission on Illustrator, and that was picked. Really nice cover. She can do art on by hand and by the computer, so it's really nice. Also, our Renaissance program is having a summer breakout two dance this Saturday. Their funds will be going to putting on a spectacular final Renaissance rally, which will be happening next Friday, recognizing all the students with a GPA 2.8 and above, and other awards that recognize staff and faculty. And finally, I'm happy to say that our leadership summit, when I talked to leadership summit, the first meeting I came here, it was we had all the leaders from the presidents, vice presidents of all the clubs, the captains of all the teams. We had them come together. We went to a retreat, two-day retreat, and I forgot what university, Redland University. And that was like one, it was a really good time. We got to talk, make goals, get a lot of spirit, being really excited about the school year, and we're having a it's getting together again this year, but the people that went last year's Leadership Summit are having a reunion on June 8th, Friday, June 8th, and concluding how our year went after our Leadership Summit in the summer. That's all.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Okay. Next item is the items from the floor, public comment. I have two requests to speak this evening. Mike Sturgeon.
Good evening, board. My name is Mike Sturgeon, and I'm the contractor performing work over at the Coronado Middle School, or the alternative school. And I first of all want to commend and say that there are many wonderful things happening here in West Covina School District. I commend the district for their achievements in wrestling and for their PTA involvement and for the things going over at the high school, West Covina High School. The reason I would come and speak to the board tonight is because we're really looking for your help or for your assistance in trying to get the Coronado project completed. There are obstacles and things that we've ran into, and we would ask that you would look into that and so that we can get the completion of the project. We've done a lot of things to try to get I've personally done a lot of things to try to get the completion of this project. For example, I can't think of anything more that I can do than the things that I personally have already done to try to get that project completed. Of course, in order for the schools and all the facilities to do the activities, the work projects have to be completed. One of the things perhaps to note is that the difficulties that we have experienced at Coronado, at the Coronado Project, are the same exact difficulties that have been over at West Covina High School and at Edgewood across the street. We recently, by accident, were in the back waiting for a meeting and waiting to meet other persons from the district, and we inadvertently ran into the contractor, who is a very good contractor, performing the work over at West Covina High School. And we asked them how their project was coming along, and we came to find out that the same problems that we've had and we've experienced are the exact same problems that they have. And the same is true with the contractor across the street. And so we would ask that the board would give us help or give us assistance in what we're trying to do to complete the project. And we thank you for your thoughtfulness in this matter.
Bruce Limbaugh.
Yeah, I'm with the West Covina Alliance. First of all, I'd like to know for the public record, George, school board member George Fuller, when you wrestled, what weight did you wrestle?
165.
Oh, hey, could you make weight today? Now, George, he went to Iowa State, 60 miles from where I lived. Their mascot is the Hawkeyes. Iowa State is the Cyclones. Cyclone, if you don't know, the same thing as a tornado. So we call it George the West Covina's Tornado. also, I want to... Right, George? want to make light of talking to this man, Steve Navarro. His father was a developer, built a lot of homes. I was talking to him the other day, and he said, yeah, I graduated from West Covina. And he graduated. So what year did you graduate? He says, 1960. And he had his son graduate from West Covina. I think he was student body president. And Daniel, many years ago, I think that was when they made the selection of West Covina over Edgewood. And, I mean, he was in there saying a few words from that real controversial meeting when West Covina was selected. But after he graduated, he went to SC. I think he was on their golf team. And for the last 10 years, he wasn't in the major pro. But he was on one of these pros. He's been a professional golfer for about 10 years, but in light of that. So I just wanted to announce, we have our West Covina annual night on the town. It's going to be Wednesday, May 30th. It's a big fundraiser. It's our big fundraiser. We raised, I think last year, we netted about $25,000. And there you got Taste of the Town. We have 10 restaurants, like BJ's, TGIF, some of the leading restaurants in West Covina. And it's a great event. Champagne, we have a silent auction. This is at the Edwards Theater. It's you get your choice of a theater of the movie. You get vouchers. And that voucher is not only good for that night, like for all your school board members. You can leave at 7 o'clock and go to, you have any open houses or whatever. But your voucher is good for, heck, I got my voucher from last year. So you can go any Edwards Regal Theater in the area. It's a great event. I remember, I think 3 years ago, we do a lot of events with the school. We have the reading program at West Cove. We raise the reading level at the school substantially, where we have about 20, 25 volunteers, and I'm one of them who does read with the other Lions members. And we've, you know, the principal attributed our assistance in the reading to the young children in improving the test scores there. Also, I think 3 years ago, I think we had we have a scholarship program where we award five $1,000 scholarships, not based on academics, not based on test scores, based on one thing, service to the community. A couple years ago, West Covina High got $3,000 scholarships. I generally get one or two every year. So we do a lot. And so I invite you to come. It's a great event. It's $20 a night. And first of all, I think that since Mr. Daniel Richardson has done such a good job as student body board member, would you like two tickets to go, Daniel?
I was just thinking about going, but the 30th I'm actually going to be science camp.
Oh, okay.
Fifth graders of Vine Elementary School.
Okay.
Yeah. I will be
is this allowed?
Okay. Well, that's good.
I would love to have some tickets.
I'm driving over. So you still should take them.
Good. Well, I think we should give at least two tickets to a Rotarian in this here, our superintendent. And you can go. Here's two tickets.
Thank you.
Is there now? Where can you get these tickets, Bruce? Can you get them
Tammy Polis.
Okay.
Tammy Polis. So call her up. If you can't get a hold of her, call me.
She sold at least.
But here's the event right here. I'll give it to you. It's a great event.
Somebody bought them for me.
Thank you very much.
And I want to thank you for your support. Also, we got a lot of support this year. You see, I sold a bunch of tickets to the police union and the fire union this year.
Excellent.
So
good.
They got really heavily involved.
That's
hint,
great.
Hint, hint.
By the teachers union.
So thank you very much. It's a great
thank
event.
You.
Anybody
thank
wanting
you.
Flyers, I got them right here.
And together with our service clubs, our district is better. we're going to take a 2-minute break.
I did that last. Didn't we do that last year?
Yeah. Whenever.
Yeah.
A couple
of
years ago.
Evaluation.
Yeah, no.
All of them.
But two.
Oh,
Would there be a
About the asphalt?
Yeah.
Because
I don't have those kind of aspirations.
Oh, okay.
It doesn't have to be now, but just someone that could be interesting.
2 minutes up yet?
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Is 2 minutes up? Is 2 minutes up?
All right. Oh, I
don't know.
Can I have your water?
Yes.
Is 2 minutes up?
Yes, probably.
I wasn't sure if 2 minutes was up.
5 minutes
I can't keep time, so I'm not sure.
Oh, no, it's not. I won't be able to attend, but I know some people that are interested.
Oh, well, I'll go with that.
I mean, I know you weren't going to be there, but you could
have. I realized that I could have passed it on to nicely.
Oh, you could have auctioned him off, you know?
See, you would. You should have taken him. You had it. See, you could have taken him, and you could have been the man that gave it to two people.
I would have been the...
You know. Right?
Cheers.
How am I
going to
do not and Edgewood?
Where's...
Good. Huh? Does it really require that?
Apparently so.
That's lame. So,
we're just waiting for one more board member, and we can start without the superintendent.
That's true.
It's our meeting.
Yeah. Superintendent?
Okay, we will return from our break and go on with the next item, the organizational items. Is there anybody that would like to remove an item from consent?
21.
Okay, anybody add to consent?
21.
Nothing.
All right, so
I move that we approve the consent agenda as outlined with the deletion of item 21.
Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you. Any objections? Okay. First item on the agenda is item number 3, an information report regarding the E2 facility and program presentation.
Thank you. We have representatives from Edison. Please come forward and introduce yourselves. Thank you very much for being here.
Thank you. Mr. Cox, board members, administrators, thank you so much for allowing us to come today. My name is Daniel Oscar, and I am with Edison Schools, and I'm here with my colleague, Sarah Peterson. And I mentioned to some of you that we're still on New York City time because we flew in this afternoon, so if we fall asleep up here, please smack us. I have, unfortunately, I only have 10, so if two people can share one, we'll be all set. But then we're, okay, I guess everyone can take one. So we're passing around some drawings, preliminary sketches of what we're interested in potentially partnering with you to do at the San Jose Edison campus in terms of facility renovations. And if I were sitting where you're sitting, I might want to know why we're interested in doing these renovations or seeing them done. So I thought I'd spend a few minutes talking about that. E2 is a new initiative of Edison Schools, and it is to roll out the, eventually we would like to make market improvements to the way in which we educate the children in our schools. And to do that, we believe we have to start making improvements, small improvements, in some cases, bigger improvements in other cases, so that 2 or 3 or 4 years from now, the education that Edison Schools is able to provide in partnership with school districts is even better than what we're able to do today. The vision that is undergirding our efforts is that we want all children who come through our schools to thrive in the world as is, we say, and create the world that could be. So I'll say it one more time because it's a little confusing. But prepare children to thrive in the world as is and create a world that can be. And it's representing a sort of duality of what we'd like to do with kids. We want kids to thrive in the world as is, to be equipped to go to great colleges and get a good job for themselves, to be able to support themselves and their family. But at the same time, we want them to take on the task of being good citizens of their communities, of their country, of the world. And so we want them to work to create a better tomorrow. And so that's the thrive in a world as is, create a world that could be. So we're looking for kids who will be, and this is stuff that, of course, you are already doing, be highly literate, be lifelong learners, exercise the perseverance and leadership necessary to care for themselves and their family and their communities and the world that we share, and be economically self-sufficient. So how does this tie into knocking down walls and changing some spaces around? One of the major components of what we're trying to roll out, we call independent learning. We also call it customized instruction. But we are essentially trying to create within a school with hundreds of people in some cases, thousands of children in other cases, a situation where each kid can have a customized instructional experience. So even though you may be in a classroom with 34 children if you're in the upper grades or 20 children in the lower grades, nonetheless, while many of your experiences are shared, the entire experience you have overall is a unique one that's based on your needs, based on your interests, and based on what you need to take it to the next level in terms of your performance academically and otherwise. And we feel that we're well poised to do this, particularly with a lot of the supports that exist in the arena of technology, and that through the help of technology we can help teachers perform more efficiently so that they can focus more of their time on actually working with students individually or in small groups and less on paperwork. We also can provide experiences for children on the computer where there are software packages that are available to diagnose precisely where a student is in terms of the performance and then provide instruction based on that. What we need to do in the San Jose Edison campus in order to provide these experiences for kids is renovate certain spaces so that we can put in a lot more technology than is currently in place, and we can have children grouped in ways that they're currently not grouped. So that results in our having an interest in renovating four different locations on the San Jose Edison campus and converting them essentially into two different kinds of spaces. One space, excuse me, we call a library media center, not a name we created. And another one we're calling an independent learning lab. And the third one that we also have, The third one we also have is something that we're calling a flex lab, which is sort of a combination of the two. So if you look on your diagrams, the first page is, well, the first page is the title page, but the second page is the map of the campus, and you'll see that there are two spaces sort of in the top left center that we are planning on converting, and the details of that are enclosed, and then those we're converting into an independent learning lab and into a library media center. And then in the bottom center right, there's a space that we're converting into a flex lab. And then the lower right, sort of most exciting, we think, and represents an exciting opportunity, we hope, for you as well, is turning a building that is currently unused or minimally used into a major library media center facility. And if you go to the next page, you'll see a preliminary drawing of what we envision that will look like. And you'll see in the upper left, I just want to make sure that this is highlighted because I realize it came out a little light, the word draft. to indicate that this is not a final proposal. And the Library Media Center, I mean, some of the things that are going on there, as you can see, it includes sort of three different spaces in one. On the upper top left, there's a learning lab. The top right, there is the actual Library Media Center itself, the core library area. And in the bottom right, there's what we're calling a flex area, which allows both computer work as well as individual and group work not on a computer. And the idea behind this is to allow for the creation of rich environments that have a variety of settings that are both technology-based and non-technology-based. Students will be in these spaces working in a variety of configurations. There'll be a technology-driven assignment management system that will help teachers communicate to students what they should be working on, because each student will be working on something different from the student next to him. In some cases, sometimes there'll be three or four students working on the same thing, but there will be technology that will help assign to students what they are to be working on. So some of the technology that we would have in place in terms of software, in addition to the machines themselves, is a tool called Big Six Turbo Tools, which would help students manage the problem-solving, research writing process, including a place to host their notes, their bibliography, citations, help them meet deadlines. It sort of guides students so that they can progress intentionally through each step of the research writing process. Another example of technology we'll have is called Easy Tech, which would be a self-paced interactive tutorial for technology integration. A third one would be Dewey Easy 2.0, which provides training on book orders. It supports both shelving activities for student helpers and searching tasks for all students. Then there's another one. I won't go through the whole list, but I can go through more later if you're interested. The Sony Creative Software, which is sort of a basic system for music studio, SoundForge, audio studio, a movie studio as well for the creation of multimedia packages. Then I'll go through this quickly because I realize it's late for all of us. If we flip to the next page, you'll see a Flex Lab. And I'll talk about the Flex Lab and the Learning Lab in the same discussion. And that's where a lot of the sort of very academic software programs will be deployed. And some of the examples for that are for World Language, we'll be deploying something called Rosetta Stone, which you may have seen in...
Have a little clarification.
Sure.
I need new glasses, so it's a little bit difficult to see some of the fine print. On the third page that you're looking at now, is that the middle portion of what the multi-center was?
No, I'm sorry. I should have made that clear. Thank you. If we go back, if you look at the key plan on the top right of that page, you'll see that in the lower left-hand corner, there's a of that box.
Oh, on this one. Okay.
So that is a separate building.
Okay.
Does that make sense now?
Yes. This is where the office is now.
No.
Yes.
No, the office is catty corner.
So I'm not sure what's in the spaces now. The if you go back to the very front page,
this is the office right here.
No.
This is the old cafeteria.
The office is on this entrance, though.
Well, what used to be the
when it was the parking lot entrance?
The Science maybe. Health Academy. Oh, okay, sorry. Thank you. I'm directionally challenged.
Okay. So I mentioned the Rosetta Stone. It'll be a different version than what you see in the airports. That's more geared towards children, but it can teach them up to teach kids up to 30 languages. And we'll be providing. They won't have access to all 30 because we think it'll be difficult for staff to support that. But there will be multiple languages that kids will have a choice to choose from among. In addition, there'll be keyboarding software programs. There'll be programs that support reading and math and some very interesting programs in that arena, not programs that we've seen widely deployed in schools, but ones that we've sort of done a lot of research about and found pockets of excellence in terms of the use of technology, and think that we can bring them to other partners across the country. The one example of a program that we're particularly excited about is called Achieve 3000, which is designed to accelerate reading comprehension, vocabulary, and writing proficiency. And this is sort of an amazing idea, which I wish I had thought of, but unfortunately I didn't think of it, which is to provide high-interest daily news items for students. But what it does is they have a team of people who take a very interesting news story the day it comes out or early in the wee hours of the morning, and they'll rewrite that same news story on nine different grade levels. So they'll take a news story from a real newspaper and rewrite it on the third grade level, the fourth grade level, the fifth grade level, et cetera, through the 12th grade level. They'll preserve the essence of it, but what it enables us to do is have readers of all sorts of different levels having access to the same news information and then engaging in conversation about it. And in addition, all of this information is archived such that students who are doing research can research any previous article that's been posted and, again, access it at their own grade level. So we're very excited, and that's just one example. So in short, and I have a lot more detail, and maybe if you have questions I can go through it, but in short, we feel that these spaces are critical to enable us to deploy these technology solutions, and are interested in also providing an exciting venue for kids that they feel engaged by and are happy to be in. So, and that you see reflected on these preliminary drawings. And I'm happy to answer any questions.
The two classrooms on the elementary side.
Yes.
Now, when I've been there, all the classes were utilized, all of the classrooms. So if those two classrooms are used for these computer labs, where are the rest of the students going to be housed, or is that not going to be a problem?
Well, that's an excellent question, and I can only defer to Dr. Patton, who has assured us that has been taken care of. But I don't know precisely if those are two classrooms currently. I do not know. I can't answer the question of how they've been accommodated, so I apologize for that, but I can certainly get that information back to you.
One of the classrooms was used for the teachers, but not two, and that's...
Yeah, one
but
was
is that actually
lineup,
yes?
Lineup.
Is that actually two classes or four classes?
I think it's four different rooms, because there are four different rooms and two walls are being taken down to turn them into two rooms.
So there'll be less four regular classrooms.
Correct.
Then what grades are going to be? I know that. In the literature, were all of them going, what students are staying housed with the same teacher all day?
What students are being housed, I mean, in terms of what grade
teacher.
Levels?
Mm-hmm.
That's not going to change next year. So if, I don't remember if it's K through 5 or K through 6.
So there may be, I don't know how she's going to house everybody then. So that would be interesting. That would be a question I would have.
Yes, that would be a very good question. To make sure we can house all the students. I am, as you know, Dr. Patton is, I'm very confident that she has thought of this and addressed it, but I can't report to you the details, so I'll make sure that I can do that.
We don't have a charter application in front of us yet, do we?
No.
So how can we proceed if we don't have a charter application in front of us?
The only way I could see that we could proceed with this or not proceed with this if there was a chance that, in fact, there will be no charter here next year. if we anticipate that there
will
be...
No, there is one more year of a charter year.
That's right. But right. If there is a chance that there would not be a charter here next year, then this would be an irrelevant conversation. So is that what you're anticipating?
Well,
can I ask...
What my anticipation was, I went through, I don't know if you have it, but the design sketch, and to be perfectly honest, in reading it, I'm kind of surprised you hear it because it says on page 31, we all understood how local boards should track from the fidelity of program implementation, add little value, are unprepared for their responsibilities, and confuse who is accountable for the school's performance. I'm sure there's some in the room that agree with that, but the community having elected us, I'm surprised that they're here. And that is kind of conveyed. And to be perfectly honest, it comes out, starts out with that. And then there's things within E2 that I just find, for instance, taking child labor and replacing classified personnel with it.
Where's that, Mr. Fuller?
It's what?
Where are you reading from where it says we're doing child labor and replacing classified staff?
What
page is that on?
You want to read it all? You want to take the time out to read
can
it
I,
all?
Can I comment?
I'm asking you what page you're reading from.
Before we go down that path.
Section 25.
I don't think that's
Mr. Fuller?
Superintendent has the floor, just a minute.
Mr. Fuller. If you recall when Dr. Chubb was here, the board asked him if he would move forward in fixing these facilities regardless of the board's decision about the extension of the charter. And he answered at the time that yes, that they have an interest in fixing the site, even if it's just for the 1 year that they still have on the existing charter. He also said to the board that he was exploring ways to pay for that. I remember Mrs. Pola specifically asked him what would happen if you made all these modifications and then the board somehow didn't accept a renewal or didn't accept you at the site. And his answer, I thought, was really clear, and it was, we still want to proceed in fixing this so that our students have this for the next year. So what's before us tonight is an explanation of piece of how they would like to improve the site under existing program, adding independent learning. So they've not given us a comprehensive plan, but they're adding this component to the existing. And so what we're looking to modify tonight is the board's interest or not in allowing them to modify this piece before we get the actual comprehensive modifications that will be needed in the program. We're actually not responding to that document tonight because they're not prepared to do that. They're prepared to specifically address the issue of site facility independent learning and the technology that they want to put there. That's what they've prepared for tonight.
Right now we don't have a charter application.
Right, that's correct.
So if we do all these modifications, we may be left. Can we use the modification?
They will use it for another year. And then we will, in the process, we will be renewing and talking about renegotiating their charter.
And who's going to pay for all this?
Well, that's something that I believe Edison, there's...
consideration.
Yeah. What was the answer, Mr. Cox?
It's item 21.
Item 21 he took off for consideration.
There's two vehicles that we've discussed with them. One is they're prepared to find the money to do it. Okay, so that's on the record, and they're willing to do that. Secondly, there's an opportunity for districts to apply for charter money if they have a charter school and they need to do facilities work, and that's item 21. But either way, my understanding from the Edison vice president is that they're willing to move forward and pay for it if they have to.
And pay for it themselves
yes.
for 1 year.
Correct.
Because we may not be
correct.
Able to resolve some of the differences.
Correct. That's correct.
So, well, I see a tremendous amount of modification. I guess my next question is, will it enhance our district if we end up with a building? This building was severely modified at the end of the time.
In some ways, yes, because there are buildings there that we are not able to use because they're not up to code. They don't meet standards. And so the fact that we... you know, would use this vehicle to improve that site would not be a bad thing for us as the landowners of the site. I think some of the questions that Mrs. Polis has in terms of the four classrooms, I know that they're planning on rotating students in and out of the lab in different numbers, and so they also have a couple of labs that they will be undoing when they redo these labs. They right now have a testing lab, and so they will be working on that. My recommendation to you tonight is to move the agenda forward in terms of item 21 after this report is done so that we do not miss the deadline to apply in the event that the board agrees on the new charter application. We can always reject the money, and they can keep looking for the money. They have to go back and keep looking for the money as well.
Okay, so, but what if September comes and we haven't resolved this? Then what?
Well, we cannot move forward. All you're approving tonight is for us to apply for money.
Right.
Okay? And they also understand, just as a sidebar, they also understand that these are not specs that we could submit to an architect. They have to have very specific things that they're working on. In talking to Dr. Patton, I thought it was important for the board to know the progress that we're making in these conversations and their desire to find the money should they need to make these modifications.
So, because I would feel somewhat, I mean, if somebody's giving me public monies and I'm putting it into a facility, into a charter school, I feel a public trust that we would be using that building for more than a year. I wouldn't want to take millions of dollars and put it into a building.
Well, let me put it this way. As superintendent, I would love them to fix it up and turn it over to me. That would be great. If they want to fix it up and put these computers in and let me have it, I would say, let's do it. Because what they're doing right now is a technology facility that we don't have anywhere in the district. So I think the bottom line is tonight you are just looking at moving the ball forward in terms of our ability. They get the nod that they should look for money. We get the nod that we should apply for a charter school to improve the site. Design plans have to be approved through DSA, architects, all of that still has to take place.
But the funding, once we get that all done, then we have to figure out who's going to fund what.
Well, there's a point where we could say to the state, we don't want the funding, we don't need it, but we do have to have an application in to be able to have that ability.
And why would we say we wouldn't need it?
Well, if we don't negotiate successfully, if they decide that, you know, they don't like the way we want to do the business or vice versa, both sides need to figure out how to get those resources in place. And so I think what they're doing is out of good faith commitment is coming here and saying, you know, here's our plan, here's our vision for it. We'll give you the specifics, we'll negotiate the specifics, but we don't want to lose this opportunity to move forward to apply for the charter money.
And so this should be done by July or so.
We believe, we have word. Mr. Frutos and I spoke to Edison headquarters last week, and we believe that in a couple of weeks we will have more information to bring back.
Okay. So, and does Edison understand that? You may be left with the bill?
Edison definitely understands that we may be left with the bill.
Is one other reason that we may not, we may not need the grant money is if Edison comes out and says, hey, we found, you know,
right,
philanthropic money to help.
But we'd like to keep those options open.
Oh, absolutely.
Keep because the district can only use it for a charter.
But George asked the question, under what circumstances would we not want to use the grant money? And you had said if we didn't successfully negotiate a new agreement, and the second would seem to me as if they decide that, you know what, they don't want to wait or for whatever reasons that and they found, you know, somebody that could, that would want to do this privately, then that's certainly one other issue.
I would have no problem using the charter money. There's money that is sitting there in the state for charter school use only, and we have a building that we've been unable to utilize in any way.
Right. For 20 years.
And if there's a way to use charter money that we can utilize no other way in this district, I'm all for bringing that money in. And it's a beautiful building if it can be used. Actually utilize that. And
Mr. Cox, I also want to respect this point because the message that has to go back that we still have to negotiate a new charter application and a new management agreement. So for the record, we're talking about two different things. We're talking about allowing the improvement of these buildings via whether they raise the money or we get the money, apart from what we will move forward in terms of the charter application.
You know what I'm going to do? I want to get some idea of a consensus on moving forward.
Right.
And I thought Cammy put it rather eloquently. Is there anybody on this board that doesn't agree fundamentally with what Cammy said?
If Edison is willing to pay the bill and it's only for a year, I'm fine with Edison paying the bill. I'm all for improving it. Funding, I think, should be applicable
yes
on the board. And if Edison's willing to pay the bill and we negotiate that, then I'm all for
So I will take that as a positive and that. Mm-hmm. So it sounds that basically we're willing to move forward with this item. What I'd like to do, if it's all right with, well, just a minute, I'll give you a second. I'll give you a second here, just a second. I'd like to move item number 21, and let's consider that then and take a vote on that right now. Jessica, you have a comment.
Okay. 21, we're only voting for them to be able to apply.
For us to apply for grant.
Right.
So I do not have a problem with that. I was a little surprised. I'm not sure if you're aware, but we have not approved moving to an E2, changing the school into an E2. So having a facility and program presentation, I was hoping to finally get the program presentation on what the E2 is. It's now been 5 months since I asked a lot of questions on what the E2 would be. And so once again, we have a facility presentation for the E2, but we don't know what the E2 is, and we have not said yes.
Mr. Frutos, would you clarify for us what the timing is with respect to this particular item?
The application for the state has to be in by June the 5th, and so we had to bring the application and the facility, and that's why we're here. We also invited them because we also want them to hear what the board is saying and also the fact that they may have to look for the money and that they have to negotiate with us the E2 plan. All of those things tonight, I think, are on the record, and I know that we will be talking to them probably tomorrow morning to give them whatever input we can about this.
Mm-hmm. And just to make sure that is clear in my mind, even if Edison gets private money, the facilities changes still have to come through us.
Absolutely, yes.
And DSA.
Yes, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. So all of this.
That is my understanding.
Yes.
So what I'd like to do, so I think we've got at least a consensus of moving forward with the facilities item as you presented, and thank you so much for coming this evening. What I'd like to do is take a motion on item number 21 at this time, and then if there's a second, I'll entertain other discussion.
Thank you for this opportunity.
Thank you very much.
Is there a motion on item number 21?
I'll move it.
Is there a second?
Yep.
Is there any other comment on this? All in favor of this to authorize staff to process district application for funding facilities project for the San Jose Edison Academy? All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion passes 5-0. That then takes us to item number 6, which are the – I'm sorry.
I saw the question on the information report. I don't know if we're past asking questions about that. And this is – you're going somewhere?
Well, I didn't know if you needed them or not. Do you need them to stay?
Well, I don't know. I mean, do we have a – and maybe you can answer this question. If the board, a majority of the board, decides not to renew our charter school, what provision is there and what notice requirement is there for parents so that we would let them know that we're discontinuing our contract with the Edison School? And the reason I ask that is, you know, every year people will come and say, how do I apply to be in the Edison School? And then they apply. There's people on waiting lists. And, you know, it's clear to me that some members of the board don't want to give parents the choice based on their conceptions of what they've read and their understanding of what's going to go on in E2. And I think we have an obligation at some point to make a decision so we can let parents know that that school is going to discontinue or continue. Because, you know, parents make decisions to place their kids on that school not on an annual basis, but on a basis that their child will probably be there for K through 8.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it would be very negligent as a board if we were to decide suddenly we were not going to have a contract with Edison and leave those parents without, you know, the knowledge of that, so that they would not have the opportunity to make the best educational decisions for their children. And so I really think
I don't know what the contract says about that. I know we have 1 year left on the contract.
The contract.
And at one point, I thought we were negotiating good faith for it, but I'm not sure about where the board is, and I think that we need to come to some kind of conclusion so parents know.
The board has directed me to issue a letter that says to Edison that we want to negotiate a new charter. We have to have that done within the next few months. Our goal is that if we were not going to renew the charter, which I do not believe that that will happen, I believe that through negotiations we will have a win-win on that site. However, if worse came to worse, by next February we would know how successful we are, because we believe in working with them that in the next couple of months we'll have the charter application. So they know they have to have it by January. So I do not foresee that as a problem. I do believe that both sides are negotiating in good faith. This is a high-performing school. They've done a good job in our district. And there are issues that the board has brought up that I am more than happy to negotiate and talk to them about. One of the things that was referred to tonight is not the specific site plan. That is sort of a global plan that Edison has an internal review on, but when they sit down for our Edison school, it will be negotiated for our Edison school. So I don't believe, Mr. Spence, that we will get to that point, but for sure, by January of 2008, we will have resolved this issue.
Thanks. We'll move on from this item and go to item number six, the school safety plans. This item is, well, anyway, do we need a presentation on them or do, no?
As long as you...
I understand. Okay.
I move this item.
Okay. It's moved by Mr. Spence. Is there a second? Seconded by Jessica Shoemaker. This actually takes a roll call vote. I'll just do it from here if you don't mind. Jessica, or Ms. Shoemaker?
Aye.
Mr. Fuller?
Here. Aye.
Ms. Polis?
Aye.
Mr. Spence?
Aye.
And I vote aye also. 5-0. Item number 8 is the assistant superintendent contract extension.
Yes, we will be going back into closed session to discuss number 8 per the board's recess on that. You can move forward on number 9 if you'd like.
Excuse me, I'm sorry. Sorry. On the appointment of administrative position.
I thought we were doing that one and then going back for details later.
Yeah, I thought we were going to do it. You want to do it both at the same or?
You actually have to do it at the same time.
Okay, that's fine.
You still have a chance, Jan, to run. You still have a chance. Apparently.
Okay, go ahead. Item number 9. We'll come back after closed session and report on that. We have a couple of issues to discuss on item 8 in closed session. We will report that after closed session. Item 9.
Yes. Item 9. I recommend the approval of the appointment of Mary Kaufman to the position of Assistant Superintendent Personnel Services. As you know, Dr. Adias is going to bigger and better things, and we wish him the best in that, and therefore we would hope that the board would approve this recommendation.
I'm not sure about better.
What?
I'm not sure about better either.
I think it's much better. It's bigger district, more experience, new learnings, rounding out his resume will be wonderful, and we wish him the best.
Is there a motion for this item?
Old people.
Been moved and seconded. Any opposition? No, motion passes 5-0. Let's see, is there any other Board of Education discussion this evening?
I just wanted to say about what something else Lyons did is Dr. Hill comes out and does all the eye screening for us. And I just couldn't let that go without being said, because he's such a wonderful asset to this community, and when we're looking at the health of our students' eyes, that can't be forgotten. So I just wanted to say a special thank you to Dr. Hill from the Lions Club.
Thank you.
Next board meeting is June 12th, Memorial Day is the 28th, and this meeting is adjourned at 8:49, thereabouts.
We're going to recess into closed session.
And if we have items to report, we will. If we take items in closed session, we will be back out in open session to report those items out.
I crossed off my list until tomorrow.
What? I think you got to redo them. I think you do them in the order it happened.
Do what?
Because yeah. he did it sort of
you,
by consent.
You did.
Yeah, do 21.
Oh, I didn't say either one.
You know, Monica broke my heart.
She broke all our hearts.
Yeah, you know, she, you said her voice and she started laughing. You know?
The only complaint I have is that I read it when I didn't need to.
I know. I apologize, Cammie.
I really had a better understanding of why Monica.
For Jan? Exactly. You couldn't do it. I will do it.
No, I'll do it.
They're two separate items.
Yeah.
No.
I know. I should have told you.
Before we approved her and talked about the rates and the and that, and then later on in the meeting say, oh, by the way, we're going to approve it on this with this person. So what we're just saying.
Okay.
So we're going to go back in. Make.
You won't come back to this room, though, right?
We will come back to this room. I'll just say.
Is it solid now?
Which one?
The red light.
Steve, you start with the tone.
Right?
It's fine. Solid red light.
Back in open session. And?
Here we are renewing our contract. Kidding.
You ready? Okay. We are back from closed session. It is 9:27, May 22nd. All board members are present. In closed session, it was moved by Cammie Polis, seconded by Jessica Shoemaker, that the district amend Janice Pickett's employment contract as of July 1st, 2007, to reflect an increase of $5,000 in annual base salary and an annual increase of five vacation days. And the vote on that was 5-0. It was And then in closed session, the board took action to amend the contract of Mrs. Lilian Leis Castillo to increase her annual to amend her contract and increase her annual base salary to $198,000. And to extend her contract to May 31st, 2011. And the vote on, did that take a motion? It was moved by Cammie Polis and seconded by Mike Spence. And the vote on that was 4-1 with Jessica Shoemaker voting no. And we are adjourned. That's all we have to report out.
Thank you. Thank you.
We, as a Board of Education, will do what's right. Have a nice night.
All right.
Yes.
Have a nice night.